This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I from
Nassau, Bahamas, big up Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro.
Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blind check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break till it grieve me. Boy, I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I from
Nassau, Bahamas, big up Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro.
Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely find smoke.
Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro.
Dayton, I say up and running. Caliban say my show, boy, don't ever give in. 7 years of farming, watch the crops them come in. True, they see a humble thing, the lion sleeping. But they ain't for no reason. Only God that I believe in, living. Watch them only pass through for a season. Godless, I got weed them. I represent the ghetto people.
Good night, Bahamas. And welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I am your host, Valentino O'Brien, a.k.a. Scoochie Scroogie, MP, Governor. It's a pleasure to be your host on this wonderful Friday tonight. Telephone numbers tonight are 323-6232, 325-4316, and 325-4259, and we are powered by BTC at 422GR96, and you can listen in on Guardian Quest and also Cable Bahamas. I think we're live screaming. And again, it's a pleasure to be a host on this wonderful Friday. I'm the host of the talk show Inside the Inner City that premieres every Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m. And we cover a number of topics. We find solutions for the country's problem. We talk about the government. We talk about the community. We talk about the prison. We talk about things that matters in the country that sometimes, you know, go with a blind eye. And we bring it to reality based on the experience that we have had over the course of the year, working inside the inner city community, working with large groups of people around the country who are very important in the country, just as well as ourselves, you know, who we call the small man, who gives their opinion, but their opinion is be adequate for the success of the country. So tonight's show, we're going to talk a little bit about what do we expect from our members of parliament. And before we begin on that topic, I just want to talk about something real quick. I think I'm going to put about 10 minutes on it before we begin that topic. And it concerns us as a country. You know, we need to provide more opportunities in the Bahamas for our citizens in order to curb the current streak of 100 murders per year. Okay, we had 92, I think. And it seems to me, we are not decreasing it. The only thing we're doing is we are minimizing it. We are just stabilizing from completely getting out of control. And that's basically, you know, the police apprehending poisons for various crimes. They're sent to prison. Other people are killed on the streets for either retaliation or some type of altercation between, you know, two guys or few guys who are part of a organized crime or domestic dispute, you know, and et cetera. So we had also at 100. So it seems to me that we are failing at some fronts. And as much as we're trying to find the solutions of decreasing the 100 murders, we also have to look at the fact that we have close to about 1,700 young men in prison. Roughly, they said it was a decline to about 1,300 or 1,200. But at the current pace, I think that could have gone back up to 1,700 based on the fact that we're seeing so many young men and females going to prison for various different criminal offenses in the country. So I think we need to find a way on how we can provide more opportunities for Bahamians living in the country, in their community, you know, because there are a lot of Bahamians who feel the need to go abroad and be successful because the opportunities are slow in the Bahamas, even though we are one of the richest Caribbean countries in the world, even though we have a record 9.7 million visitors come to our shores last year, and we're looking to succeed to about 12 million this year. We earned about $5.7 billion off the tourism industry, but yet still, we always hitting this 100 murders. And then when you look around Nassau, so many young men, so many females, and so many people I talk to in the inner city community are losing their minds because they just don't know what to do with their life. Some of them going to school. Some of them didn't finish school. Some of them graduate, but they just are stranded. So a lot of them are sitting down on the side of the road, and they say, idle hands, you know? And that's what's happening around our country, in the Camp Road area, in the Fox Hill area, in the Marathon area, in the Anglesen area, in the Mason Addition area, in the Bain and Grandson area. We get so many people just don't know what to do with their life or who to turn to for assistance in this country today. But I just want to play a little flick about if we just give the Bahamian people an opportunity, we can see the success that they will go there and do their best. And the thing is, I don't know in some cases if the Bahamas played a role in their success. You know, if it wasn't them going abroad, or some of them, and some do get scholarship from the Bahamas to go abroad, but most of them get their scholarship from people who come to the Bahamas, people who connected to the colleges, and they themselves go and bring their sponsorship back, and they sponsor these individuals to go off and board off the schools, whether it's Canada or the U.S. So I think that we need to find a way to empower those living in our communities with small business, with using their hands and electronics. They could be dentists, they could be bakers, you know, whatever fits their needs that they are talented in. I think we're going to have to do our best to invest in all avenues to change the mindset of our next generation of country. But I want to play something, and then I'm going to name up some athletes who are doing great abroad and looking to continue to do great. So I'm going to let Mr. Chris, he's our producer here tonight. So Mr. Chris, could you play that audio recording for me, please, concerning our Bahamian sensation female basketball player?
Paul Jones moved from the Bahamas to Maryland when she was just 14 years old, and her high school coach was her legal guardian. That coach's name is Diane Richardson, and one of her former players who was also from the Bahamas had told her that there was a player who wanted to come to the U.S. to play. After talks with JJ's family, Diane became the now WNBA star's guardian so she could enroll and play at her school. Diane said that before breakfast, Jonquel would be putting up over 1,000 shots, and that her work ethic really propelled her. Halfway through her freshman year at Clemson, JJ transferred to George Washington University, where Diane was an assistant coach, so she knew she'd be in good hands. Since graduating in 2016, Jonquel has won an MVP, Most Improved Player Award, Sixth Woman of the Year, led the league in blocks, became a five-time All-Star, and has had many more accomplishments. Now the kid from the Bahamas is in the WNBA Finals again, and hopefully this time she's bringing home a ring.
Yeah. And it's amazing to hear that she left here at 14 to go to Maryland. And then she excelled with the opportunity. But at 14, okay, and she has achieved just about all the accolades that an NBA player could achieve. Now she just has to have the championship on that, and her career would be complete. But she also has earned herself a good income. Her time as a career is over. With endorsements, she can make herself anywhere from $5 to $10, probably $1 million, or even more. And next, she could take the next step. But is she coming back home? We had Jason Richardson. He was playing for the Yankees some years back. He was a Bahamian. I watched him. You know, he became successful. You know, now I think he's a trainer on the Yankees, or first baseman. We have Michael Thompson, who, you know, is a family friend, the Johnsons. I used to go by his house. And I remember when he put his first tennis store on Market Street by the red light on Hay Street, the first set of Jordans. That was Michael Thompson's tennis shop right down in Hay Street by the red light market on Hay Street. I always remember that because we went there, my cousin Richard Johnson, they were family to Johnson, and I was family to the Johnsons. And when he came down to the Bahamas, we would go by the house and visit. And we got to see him open his tennis store. It wasn't open too long. You know, we had Michael Thompson, he going on to be a two-time NBA champ, made millions. His son is Clay Thompson. You understand? And between father and son, I think they have the most championship. You know, Clay has, I think, 4. And Michael Thompson has 2. So that's 6 between father and son. Success. We also had Sandra Shaw, Debbie Ferguson. You know, all of them who went to high school, took the opportunity to train. And Pauline Davis, you know, barefoot girl running around in the streets. Eustat, train hard. Used a scholarship at the Achieve here to the Bahamas. Traveled the world competing, got better, became world champs. Now they are doing big things for respectively for the Bahamas, and also they're working abroad. We have Nate the Great down in Hay Street, Wadzali. He was a world silver medalist at Osaka, Japan. I think he won a silver medal and a bronze medal. Then we have on Hay Street, Three Corners, we had world-class athletes in the grandstand community. No other community has it. Nate from Woods Alley. Then we have Hay Street. We have Debbie Ferguson McKenzie. She was staying through, what's the corner name? Off Hay Street. And we used to watch her leave from holes and run around in the streets with a tennis. And she used to train in Lewis Street, Hay Street. She used to run from Hay Street. She used to live Wilson Street, where my cousin Keith and Kerry live. There was 3 houses on the side, wooden house on her mom. And she would get up early in the morning or late in the evening. And, you know, we were gangsters, but we saw the potentials in her. And we never bothered with her because we saw she was different. She wanted something. And we was inspired by that. Now, mind you, we was involved in all kind of illegal activity when it comes to violence. But when we saw her, she was beautiful, she was thick, but she was sociable, she would just heal. You know, she would never stop and talk. You know, she would always be into training. And that, you know, would set the difference in us and how we approached her. You know, no one ever approached her wrong. You know, we would just watch her and she would just be running day and night. She'd just be running. And when we listen on TV, you know, she moved out the area. And then when we look, she started to run And you say, boy, you see that? That's the same girl right down there before Exim begins. He used to run right past us every day. Nate fall on the footstep, and that's on Hayes Creek. Then we get on Lewis Creek, Ramon Miller, you know, who ran down the American Guy. I mean, all of them play a role in it. Demetrius Pender, who was on the show a few weeks ago, along with Chris Fireman Brown, who was on the show also a few weeks ago, talking about their experience. And they won the 4x4 relay. Okay? Opportunities. Now, Chris is ambassador for the country, the Bahamas, but also he is employed by one of the colleges. Ramon is a police officer over here, and I think he's doing some type of other work. You know, the list goes on and on and on and on. And if we provide the opportunities to our citizens, it don't have to be athletics, sports, you know, we just provide opportunities so that we can change the mindset and give those who are in these communities, you know, who are just dead. Let me be honest with you. As I speak, I'm just speaking for the whole entire community. There are so much people out there unemployed. There are so much people out there hurting as we speak, regardless of the success of what the government is doing right now. Okay? Regardless of that, there are so many people walking around counting lampposts and have lost their minds because they just don't have no one to turn to. So all we get is a lot of mad people in this country, a lot of hurt people, and they say hurt people with hurt people, okay? And that's all happening in our country today. And then you listen to the hospital on the Guardian Radio, you know, it's over full with people with chronic diseases in the country. All these things have to be addressed in this country. There's so much going on with our little small 21x7, 700 islands, 700 keys. There's so much going on, it's like we're being punished, okay, in this country. And we're being punished because I think we're not doing the right thing. Let me say, let me just talk about the national anthem. And when we sing the national anthem, when we sing the pledge, and we're not doing that. And because we're not doing that, we're here destroying the country from within. You know, the United States, no one's going to defeat the United States. They're going to get beat within. They're going to have a breakdown with their society within. And that's what's happening. You look, they're getting breakdown from inside. And that's when the morals, you know, starts to deteriorate slowly, slowly in the country. When you see suicides, like the signs we're getting now, 8-year-old committing suicide. Then we have a young lady in the prison who they find unresponsive, I mean, or responsive, but in critical condition, who decided to take her life as well. What could drive people to take their lives? What drives them is when they feel no one loves them, when there's nothing happening for them, they feel that, you know, they're nobody. They don't have no one to lean on. They don't have no one to talk to. So they lose their will to live. So, yeah. And that's one of the reasons most people in the church would listen to the show and feel that I'm offensive to the church. I'm not offensive to the church. I just know the truth about the system, about the church, and what us as the Bahamas and what the church is supposed to represent. I know that we were indoctrinated and Christianity was imposed on us from Christopher Columbus. And if we look at Christianity when they say imposed, it was imposed not of the will of the people, but an imperialist, idealist, superpower that had their plans and they wanted to spread the gospel and they twisted the gospel. And then now we in the country have black on black. So we inherit the system. Instead we use the system, we know the system was a wicked system. And we inherited because we had no choice, okay? And we're supposed to study it, learn from it, and say, hey, if our slave masters who, if we watch The Guardian, the Prime Minister pushes for reparation, but I think it's repatriation of the documents of our independence and the history about the Bahamas. So all this ties in, I want to give 52 a shout out to show that he's talking, we're talking about how the Bahamas, you know, even though we got independence, it's so-called independence. Now, because even the Prime Minister said that, you know, if we get these 10,000 pages of Bahamas documents concerning independence and history in there, he said that we learned the truth. Okay? So this is a good thing for us as well. So 52, you know, we have been saying it now. We are saying that we're getting documents of our history passed over to us. So all this is a step in the right direction, and this is probably a sign for us to understand what we have to do in order to curb the state that our country is not headed in, but is already in that direction. And we have to make a dent in it. And the way to do that is to invest. So I just wanted to talk about that for a few minutes. And just say to each and every one of you out there, I'm not against the church. I'm not against government. I just know that the church can make a big difference in this country. They do make a big difference in this country. But if we do what the church really was supposed to do, and that was meant in this saying, every need was met. We have close to 5,000 churches in the Bahamas. And if we utilize what so-called Christianity is supposed to be, and we adopt a community, and we start to help and build people's character, and help them with a reasonable doubt, we'd see the change that we want in the country. So opportunity is what we need. And how are we going to get it? Many of you who are citizens of the country are going to have to come up with your own strategy. And that strategy is, what do you want from your representative? So I'm going to talk about what do we expect from your member of parliament? Now, many of us in the country, you know, we say the government is not doing nothing, okay? And if the government even is doing something, they might not still have the time to go and apply it. A few months ago, a year and a half ago, the Honorable Prime Minister Brave Davis said that, you know, he was frustrated, you know, with the state of crime and blah, blah, blah. You know, he stated that. And the reason for that, because government have so many different things on their book, so many different programs, so many different engagements, so many deals that sometimes they forget about what their most important task is. And the Prime Minister stated that a few months back. You know, he said sometimes, you know, we forget. And at the same time, they were doing the urban renewal housing project, I think in Freeport, Grand Bahama, because they had not repaired the houses from Hurricane Dorian from a few years ago, and they finally made preparation. I think it was 40 to 70 homes that they are now on schedule to repair in Freeport, Grand Bahama. And he spoke and said that these are the most important things that the government needs to be more focused on. But because of the different travel arrangements, speaking engagement, going to the UN, CARICOM, and signing business deal with all the hotel deals we're signing, you know, they kind of forget what the most important part of being a politician is and where they're supposed to be spending the most amount of energy, and that's developing and helping the Bahamian people. So many people would say, you know, we can walk this government out. But ask yourself a question. When election time comes around, when the Free National Movement is asking to be the next government of the country, and when the PLP is walking around with their entourage and they're asking you to give them a second term, we see the minister, we see the Honorable Michael Pintard. We have seen him giving out water. We've seen him talk to the kids. We've seen him being sociable, you know. For me, on my view, I think he's a decent man. But I just want him to know that we don't want, people don't want Photoshops no more, Mr. Opposition Leader, about you giving water. That's all good. That's the old way of doing things now. And I'm not one to say criticizing it, but I mean, let's say, instead of the water, instead of feeding people now and, you know, making that a number one thing for video footage, you know, you would see, you know, someone wiring for power to be distributing water while it's in opposition, or a member of parliament, you know, giving out Gatorade or food, even though he's a member of parliament. But when we see it like from the opposition, I know he wants to, and he's doing the right thing. I'm not judging him. I'm just speaking naturally. That sometimes we as Bahamian people see through the smoke screen, and we know that when you become prime minister, if you become successful in being the prime minister, are you going to be serving water when you're prime minister? I think not. So for me, you know, when I see them kind of stuff, I know it is very, with very, very good intentions, you know, to show the Bahamian public that you're a caring person. But there's a better way to do it now. Have 50 or 100 persons while you're an opposition leader and you're giving them small business grants, you know? Every year as opposition, see if you get up 20 persons until up the election. Or do something, pay some homes for some at-risk persons living in these community to really gain the trust of the Bahamian people, because we have seen that over and over and over and again. I mean, it's a good gesture. I have nothing against Michael Pintard. I think he's a great opposition leader. I think that the only thing is they inherit one of the worst governance in the history of the Bahamas and one of the most turbulent and most stressful and painful time for the Bahamian people in the history of the country. The last administration of the former Prime Minister, Hubert Alexander Minnis, you know, because we were locked down, you know, money was flowing, high divorce, man, couldn't walk the streets, people were getting locked up for going to the pump for water. So, you know, that's all Michael, Mr. Pintard, you just inherit something from the former prime minister, and there's still a bitter taste in the Bahamian people mouth. And this government is in now, Mr. Davis. And, you know, he ain't arrogant. You know, he's addressing some of the national issues. You know, a lot of unions went on strike or started to protest. And a few day or so, the minister responsible or the prime minister himself was able to settle those protests. So he's done a very good job of that. He's humble, you know. That don't give you reason to win the next general election. But if you look at the last set of prime ministers, they were not humble. You know, they spoke arrogant. Mr. Davis and the deputy prime minister, they're humble, you know, and if they're doing something illegal, well, they're really hiding it good. Like, we should always expect that there's wolf in sheep clothing. But to give it the benefit of the doubt, they make it a little easier. Not easy, easy, easier, right? They make it easier on letting us be free to walk around. There are a lot of business they're doing. There are a lot of jobs that will be available to some of the projects in Freeport, Exuma, Cat Island, investments up to billions of dollars have been invested in the Bahamas. So across the board on many different family islands, a lot of hotels are being built. We're seeing here, well, just in a sense, you know, they're just humble. All they need to focus on now is how they can help build up the mindset of the people who are at risk, who are hoping for assistance from them to make their lives better. So, like I said, we don't know what we wanna vote for. For instance, what I'm saying is this. Okay. When we go to vote, and we say the government is not doing nothing, and when we do vote, what are we asking the MP for? And I'm just going to make some suggestions, and then you could call in and then give your suggestions. Some of the things as a community leader that I looked at, I would look at lower costs of electric bills, lower costs of gas in the country. Also, we're looking for the government to introduce solar on a large scale around the country to ease the burden of the consumption of electricity. And if you use solar, that will decrease, you know, a lot of expenditure for the Bahamian people. We also need lower costs on bread basket items. And, you know, listening on the news, we have a lot of chronic diseases in the country. We need to find a way on how we can get fruits and vegetables at a very cheap prices in the country, because it seems to me that the food that are meant to be healthy for Bahamians are too expensive for the average the Bahamian to go in the store and buy. And if you look at the COVID-19 pandemic, they said that, you know, one of the strongest defenses against the COVID-19 is the eat healthy, and that means eat a lot of fruits, vegetables, and et cetera, because the immune system, the COVID-19 attacks. And if you have a strong immune system, it is more likely you would not catch the COVID-19. And if you look at any disease today, it really links to the stomach, the gut. So you have to eat healthy. But when you go into grocery stores, the grapes, the apples, the pears, everything is very expensive. You know, the healthy stuff is very expensive for the Bahamian people. And we need to look at that as a country, because that's why we have so much diabetes in the country. We have kids with such a young age, and they have diabetes. They have sugar. We have so many people with cancer, ailments, you know, that can be easily reversed if we were eating healthier. And we have failed to introduce BAMSI on a large scale in the inner city community. You know, there are tons of fruits and vegetables that are rotten at BAMSI that can't find its way in the hands of Bahamian people for them to eat healthy at a very cheap price. So that's one thing we need to look in. I would also look at the fact that the garbage collection in the community is a slow pace. If you look at what happens in Grunston, it's probably one garbage truck comes around every 2 weeks. With the consumption of products from the Chinese and the convenience stores, the trash builds up. And when we put it outside in the garbage, and with the garbage truck not coming around on a timely basis, it builds up and builds up, and that's why every time we clean up, the trash spills over in the streets. The dogs come around, and they just finish mess it up, and the trash just blows around in the city community, and then rats come, and then roaches, and You know, and that's the problem we face in the country today. Recommendation again. The government needs to find a way on how, in these communities, instead of one dump truck, they need to see how we can invest in like four dump trucks for one specific community so that we don't have a wear and tear on the garbage trucks in that community. That means we'd have like four garbage trucks who can deal with the problem of removing our area block systematic garbage collection system in a particular area. Those four garbage trucks can be able to deal with in one day. So we'd have garbage truck come around every 2 days, two, 3 days. Say every 2 days would be appropriate. You know, because I study these things, I watch these things, and the garbage truck come around every 2 weeks. And these are some of the recommendations you have to make as a citizen. So get your little small groups together, and then you chat as their representative. And those who look into be the next representative of that particular area, people, you're going to have to understand that you're going to have to take the lead in this, and you're going to have to ask these things and make these things get implemented. Some of the stuff you got to ask for a small business to be introduced in your constituency. I think that all ministers, when you're on PLP or FNM, if the government have a small grant program, right, I would like to ask the prime minister if he can ask all the members of his party, all members of government, to allow for the small grants to be available in each constituency in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. So we need to see how we can get each minister who has an office or has a spot, we need for them to set up that small business center from the office of the prime minister to be situated in the community and have access to it as well. I think that we also need to find a way how we get BTVI and training centers in the community as well. Because I think this is fundamental for the improvements of the educational and the trading skills. BTVI is way old soldier road. But if we could bring these things inside the inner city communities and kids can be available, these trades can be available to kids and the community. You know, you're talking about carpenters, you're talking about mason, drywall guys, mechanics. You know, we need these stuff, plumbers. And we combine it with the tourism industry. And we have these skilled, business-minded individuals living in the community and be networking. This can bring a lot of opportunities and revenue in that respective community because we have all the tools. We also like to make sure that we have the proper road maintenance. Means that all the roads are paved. And we can also make sure that the parks are utilized for sporting activities and social events, and to make sure it's protected. You know, there's this kind of stuff you're going to have to ask yourself and what you want as a citizen, because we always say that the government ain't doing nothing, but you're not asking and you're not getting together as a team to sit down and have your strategy and say, hey, again, this is a next suggestion. There are a lot of abandoned houses in the community. There are a lot of hot spots in the community. You're going to have to find a way on how we can be able to work together as a team and clean it up to make your community better, because the government itself and the member of parliament cannot do it alone. So it's going to take you citizens. You know, if it take 10, 20 you guys sit down, you strategize, you look at your community, see what your community needs. And then, you know, you make your presentation. Once one person speak for the community. And then you could be that change. Next thing again, we like the Ministry of Environment to be in the community as well, or have access to the Ministry of Environment. Because we have so many rodents hundreds of rats in different strategic spots in the community, and they need to be exterminated. And the only way you're going to be able to do that is if the community works together, because if we poison one spot or we put on the cages to a particular spot, the rats are down the road there by Miss Smith, the rats are down there by Mr. Thompson, the rat is down there by the Haitian lady down there. So even though we're dealing with one spot here, eventually the rat still is going to keep on spreading. But if we work together as a team and we mark out these spots where we see the rats have their nests, and we work together as a community and a team, and we present this to the MP, and we say, hey, man, we get 10 spots around here where abandoned houses is, or 10 spots around here, or 20 spots around here where we see a hive of rats. We'd like to see how we can get the Minister of Environment to come down, take some pictures, and then we as the community will be more than happy to learn and assist with getting the problem under control, as well as getting these abandoned houses where the rats hang. And then we have some few cars and et cetera that needs to be removed. And these kind of stuff that I think as citizens you're going to have to recommend to your representative. But there's some of the stuff that I think you should ask your representative for, but also if you have some suggestion, you can call in. Like I said, the number is 323-6232, 325-4316, and 325-4259. So, what you're expecting from your government when you're talking overall? And I like this here where almost 80,000 see lower price, lower power bills. And that's because of the new... That's the new power purchase agreement with Colby Davis, who is the minister responsible. She described in the House of Assembly that the Bahamas Power and Light is not renting the two newly commissioned turbine engines to improve power reliability. So I can't believe that the last set of generators we had, we were renting. Man, that's crazy. So these are the kind of stuff we're looking to see, you know. Because we're seeing here, like I said, So we have almost 80,000 see lower power bills. So this is the kind of stuff that we want the government to do. And this is the kind of stuff we want the government to pay attention to. Because if we can keep the bills down from the average BM, and I mean BM is on the whole, this could decrease the expenditure, the high expense of living of BM. Because I think that living in the Bahamas, you know, we don't need to have high electricity bills in the country. You know, I just don't feel it. So there were many people, you know, talking about the deal, and they saw one of the prime minister shaking hand of Frankie Wilson. And, you know, he is one of the early bosses in the country. So we asking why we're seeing him shaking hands at this deal. Well, we all know there are some things you can't change in the country, okay? As much as we want to change certain things in the country, there are certain things you can't change. Certain things you can't change in America. There are certain things you can't change in the Bahamas. And we have to realize that, okay? We can't change certain things in the country. There are certain things set up by political parties that has gone beyond political party. See, Mr. Frankie Wilson and Mr. Brent Simonet, and Tiger Finlayson, and big time people. You know, we had like Peter Nygaard and all of these persons who were high esteem persons in the country and very wealthy persons in the country. They are beyond politics now, okay? They are business people. Any government comes in power will work with a Frankie Wilson. They are Mongols now. They are above government. Any government comes in power will work with Mr. Simonet and his family because they have so many different companies. And government doesn't have these companies. They doesn't have these equipment, okay? If you're looking for host development, you know other than Frankie Wilson, who's better than him? So government has to work with him. PLP and F and him. If the subdivision needs to be built, they would be one of the first contractors. Okay? So that's how things work. You know, they are above government. Trust me, people. They are above government. They're the ones who will be given opposition or government 1 million, 2 million, 5 million, it could be 10. They're the big party supporters. But, so when we see them, you know, we say, well, what's going on here? Listen, Frankie Wilson is one of the biggest party supporters of the Progressive Liberal Party, but he is a businessman. And a businessman, even though he's a part of a party, his overall objective is to keep his business running. So if the PLP was to lose the election and the Free National Movement was to come in and he has his business situated in the country, do you think that's going to stop him or stop the government from doing business with him? No, it don't work like that. Because those guys are taxpayers. They employ so many different people. And if you don't want them to close down their businesses in the country, because if they were to shut down their business in the country, you're talking about thousands of people. National insurance dues, you know, unemployment goes up, you know. So they're above government, you know, and some of them have a heart, some don't. So there are some things we can't change. And both of them, all parties on both sides of the political parties, PLP and FNM, some not a part of the party, but they still have to do business with the party members. Let me ask you all a question. Who are some of the biggest businesses in the country? So when foreign international companies want to come to the Bahamas and they want to build hotels, when foreign companies come to the Bahamas and they need a lawyer, don't you notice on TV you'd see when Brave Davis, the Honorable Brave Davis, before he was prime minister, he was one of the biggest lawyers in the country. And how many big cases of international Mongols you see he was representing? Same thing we said as the Minister of National Security, the Honorable Vian Monroe. How many big cases? Mario Lucille. But just say Brave Davis and Vian Monroe. Do you think they are cheap lawyers? They're not no cheap lawyers. Those guys make millions, hundreds of thousands and millions when they were lawyers. And they have companies that are still running today. And many other politicians have other companies running today. So we're going to say, what they doing there? It's because they have companies. Me and you don't have these companies. This was inherited over the years. That's when you're being a part of a party. Like I say, and watch this. Mr. Wilson started off a poor man. And he got a start from Bradley Roberts. I think it's $5,000, and that was given by Sir Roland Simonet. I think it was an interview going on with Bradley Roberts or Frankie Wilson. And like I said, I was watching on Facebook for Mr. Roberts there, or somebody. Is it Frankie Wilson or Mr. Roberts? But I think it was Mr. Roberts, because ain't much people in the PLP party had more money than Bradley Roberts. Bradley Roberts, a guy, probably had over $500-600 million. He was very smart. You know, he always used to tell me this because I used to personally sit down and talk with Mr. Roberts. And everyone used to talk how smart he was. But the opportunity was given to them from a person who was in opposition, means Sir Roland Simonet. And he gave it to Bradley Roberts because, you know, I heard that Sir Roland Simonet was a people, like he liked to help, even though he was the prime minister, the premier, not the prime minister, premier, you know. So Lenin was the prime minister, but the premier. And I heard that he must have gave them $25,000 or $50,000 or $25,000. And gave it to Bradley Roberts. And Bradley Roberts gave it to Frankie Wilson and this one. And they started the Sunshine Group of Companies. And eventually they keep on climbing. They were part of a political party. And they keep on climbing. They grow themselves. And then in there, they got deals from the government for Crown land. And they bought some land. And they gone into real estate. And they continue to climb and continue to climb. So Frankie Wilson got an opportunity, along with Bradley, the late great Bradley Roberts and many others. They started the Sunshine Group of Companies. Now, these same gentlemen like Mr. Frankie Wilson now are Mongols. They're billionaires. They might be millionaires, but they're assets of owning the gas companies, Awak Homes, and et cetera. Same thing you could say about Tiger Finneson, the Simonettes, even Mr. Christie, even Ingram. You understand? Because I had a discussion and someone told me that Ingram is a guy who has over $700-800 million. And this is just a discussion I was having to go talk to people. And I was hearing this from a former prime minister who was telling me he ain't on no level as Ingram, because they said Ingram was a very smart and very business-minded individual. You know, they said that he is a lawyer and he uses lawyer ability and as a businessman to negotiate. You understand? So there's some things we can change, but there's a lot we can change if we want to see change in the country. We're going to take this one call. Who's that calling? Go ahead, caller. You want inside the inner city?
Hey, good night, school. I ain't called you for a little while. Hey, how you doing, man?
I'm fine. It was perfect.
No, man. Just see Papa.
All right, go ahead. Bless up. Sorry for that. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah. Scooch, hey. I was listening to you from your start, right? And, I mean, the history is a good history, right? But I trying to figure out what we, the people, could really even be glad to even be mentioning these guys, them, because only them benefit from this country.
That's why I was talking to them. Go ahead.
You know what I'm saying?
Go ahead.
Only them benefit from this country because the year a prime minister of over hundreds of millions of dollars and behemoths, people can't pay their light bill sleeping on the side of the road, and that sound like those leaders in Africa, man, you know, where they just take everything from the people and you know, you see it on the road. I hear you mention about the crime, right? The crime situation going on, man. You know, we have to know that crime have a lot to do with poverty, man. The people needing and wanting things, man. You know, and most of the times these people need structures and how to get these things, but they hear.
That's right.
Right? And because they hear, they can be desiring things, yes, despite they have the structure on how to properly get it. Right? This month also is, I hear the radio station talking about, you know, this month happened, was what's called to be Youth Month or something, right?
Yes, sir.
Right? And our problem we have in this country, one of them, right, is the fact that the youth in the country ain't really being taken care of.
No, sir. You know? They're not being taken care of.
They ain't being taken care of.
They're on the street stagnated. They don't know what direction they want to go in.
Yeah, you know, they...
They have no future.
They're not being taken care of.
Yes.
And that's a big problem.
Yes?
Yeah, that's a big problem, right? Because if we serious about this country, right, mm-hmm, why we ain't finding ways to empower our youth, right?
Mm-hmm.
I hear you mention about sports, right? I mean, thank God these people them had desires
to go,
you know,
off,
leave this country.
Yes.
And do what they did and, mm-hmm, and made themselves, mm-hmm, successful. Because why? For a country to be so small, Scooch,
yeah,
and we have all type of evidence where we have athletes, we have actors, we have chefs, we have
Everything.
Artists, we have designers, we have musicians, we have all type of records to show how powerful and how serious Bahamians are, right?
Yes, sir.
But when you come home,
nothing right, to do.
Ain't nothing really designed to develop that from a youth perspective.
No, sir.
In this country, ain't nothing.
No, nothing. Ain't nothing happening.
We have a whole ministry, so-called Ministry of Youth, Sports and Culture, right? Mm. If we were serious, my brother, culture, right, is a, hey, the culture
it's
should have
business.
Been connected to the tourism.
Now, see, my brother, now you see you knocking a nail right on the head. When you see, right? There you go.
The culture should have been connected to the tourism because the tourists come in looking for the culture.
Ah.
Right? So,
it don't take a genius.
So it's got to be a plan, right? It's got to be a plan why they put the youth and the culture together, right?
Mm-hmm.
Despite there is no cultural expression nowhere from the government for the youth. Ain't none, right? We could have been having, we have islands, right? We are archipelago. We have islands. We could have, we know we have baseball and softball and
we got Charles Chisholm
potential all around this country.
We got Charles Chisholm. He's showing you how great we are as a country.
Yeah, so they showing us. They
Freedom Farm a few years ago, who won the gold medal, Freedom Farm, Mr. Woodside.
They send us, Scooch, hey, it's more me there, you know. Y'all take it, just me.
That's right. We get a wrestling.
More us there.
We get the sensation behaving a female wrestling can on that, but.
Yeah. So why isn't it, right? Why the culture, why they spend the less money in culture or things when it's connected to the youth, right?
Mm-hmm.
The youth need to be connected to education.
That's right.
Right? So that you know we could empower our youth and educate them in every every possible way.
Yes, sir.
Right? But being serious in this country, you know, because these guys, right, all of them who you mentioned tonight, sir?
Yes,
right,
sir.
All of them, while they might be good in their own way.
Yes, sir.
The country ain't, they benefit from the country.
Yes, sir.
But the country ain't benefit from them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because look around. Look around and see the deterioration of our nation, my brother.
Yes, sir.
Something needs to be done. We have to empower. We have to find.
It's empowerment. It's
and there's ways, you know, to empower our nation, you know, but our leaders don't want to empower the people.
Hmm.
They just don't.
You just said it just earlier, too. You give one of the great solutions. You talk about youth sports and culture, right? And you say, why not tie it into the tourism ministry? I've been preaching that from day one because we had, listen to this, brother, we had $5.7 billion spent in the tourism ministry last year, according to the Deputy Prime Minister of the Ministry of Tourism. Then they stated that there was an influx of 9.7 million visitors that came to the Bahama shores last year. And on this year, we're looking at a record probably anywhere between 12 million, right? Like you were saying now. If we put the kids and train them in the history, the education, in the tourism industry, along with the youth, sports, and culture, and tied it in and turned it into a market where they could be entrepreneurs and business owners and workers, eh? We'd see a big change in the country. Where is it, brother?
Before I go, school.
Go ahead, brother. Sorry for cutting you off.
Hey, before I go, school.
Go ahead, brother.
You, what is the, who owns the culture?
The Bahamian people.
All right, then. Now you understand why
yes,
they don't have the cultural connected to tourism.
Yeah.
Because the Bahamian people only work for the tourism. They don't own it.
That's right.
Right? So if we put this, if we connect the culture to the tourism and this the lifeline of the country, that means more money can trickle down to the people.
Because
the people is the culture.
So let me ask you a question. If you're looking for a solution on how we could tap into the tourism industry as far as using as Ministry of Youth, Sports, and Culture. What one suggestion would you give on how we can do that?
Like I just said, you, Scooch, what we need to do is take the culture away from youth and sports, right? And put it
in the schools?
with tourism.
Right.
Right?
Yes, sir.
So that the people could feel some of the trickle-down effects from the tourism would bring in the money.
Money.
Right? That's what the people come. When you go the Jamaica, you ain't going to go look to see music playing, right? And who dancing, right?
Wow.
You going to go look for some Jamaican something, right? Wherever you go in this country, in this world, you go in for the cultural aspect.
Yes. So right? you want to go in the Junkanoo shack, you want to see the Junkanoo practice, you want to interact with the guys who are making the Junkanoo.
But there's more than that.
I know. Go ahead.
Look right on top of the hill where you and I grew up, right there where the water tower is.
Yes. It's a tourist attraction up there.
The culture, it's like they trying to replace our culture for another culture because nobody interested no longer in the Bemean culture. Everything is just dilapidated and dying.
Yeah. Instead of we reinvent the wheel back again, maybe. Yeah, you're right. You're right, brother.
And you, my brother. I'm a wonderful show, man. Continue, man. I ain't called you for a little while, but a bit.
God bless, man. Every time you call, you make a lot of sense. So I appreciate that.
All right, good night. That's very important.
Good night to you, too. Yeah, it's true. And there's so many aspects of what the gentleman was saying just now on what we can do. So those are the kind of stuff that you're going to have to ask your representative. You're going to ask for small business. You're going to have to ask for small business to be reintroduced in your community. So if she was a member of parliament for Angleston, you ask the minister to bring small business in your community. If you live, the minister of Camp Road, I think that same thing as Ms. Gladys Anna Martin, same thing, That's what you're going to have to do, Ask for things that are going to be beneficial to the Bemean people. We're going to take this next call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside the Inner City.
Hey, Scrooge, how you doing, man?
I'm fine. Good night to you.
Good. Just add to what the caller just now.
Yes,
he mentioned a few options, what would be some suggestion. He may mention that you would add culture to tourism.
Yes, sir.
But I think what we should do is probably create a culture's way, amusement center.
Mm-hmm.
For example, you see where the courtyard is, right?
Yes, sir.
There's a property right there.
On the side of the court.
Between the Maritime. If they create a culture's way.
Yes.
With maybe clubs and artistry, restaurants.
Makes sense.
Culture's way. So you have Bay Street, right? But if you do a culture street, and, create, and you could control it. Because if you do it where you have in and out and all that stuff, the police can really police it properly where it's a no, you can't bring no bottles in, et cetera. Bring it up maybe three levels. You could have comedy club. You can have restaurants. You can have Junkanoo Museum. You could have live band. You can have culture street, with authentic Bohemian. And sort of diversify from Bay Street.
Yes.
And have it going on all day, bro.
Yes.
All day.
It'd make perfect.
And link it to tourism, sponsored by the tourism, the new board they created.
Yes.
And culture.
Yes.
Tourism culture ministry. And get, and the orange economy can be really be striving.
Yes.
It's within walking distance.
Yes.
Between
Bay Street.
Bay Street and Fish Fry.
Yes.
So,
Let's scratch it.
Could we put an amazing cultural building there that people could look out to see? Could even put some Airbnb on top.
Of course, of course.
Live right in the community,
Of course.
Right there, and tell you which story about the surrounding communities and stuff like that. Tell the story.
Yes, sir.
So there's a lot can be done. And it can be a private government venture. Well, now you see what the government's doing? Remarkably, what they're doing now, they're actually selling bonds where people can put minimum amount in. So let people buy into this kind of thing.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes,
and put their money into it.
Yes, sir.
Anyway, That's my 2 cents.
Yeah, 2 cents was very good. Both of the gentlemen who called and gave some great, great solutions to the country's problem. You know, the gentleman talked recently, he talked about building a little spot where you get a restaurant. These are different Bahamian people who would be a part of being the business owners of these particular establishments. And this is all to get the tourists to come over there. In fact, I'm going to give you a prime example. So not far from where you talked about, from the courtyard, one corner away, it's a corner across from the National Art Gallery. And many years ago, Yuli Wogus and I were walking, and now you could see from Great Cliff. They have turned that whole corner from Great Cliff into a tourist attraction, and many different stores and restaurants. They have one or two restaurants on a small strip that starts from Government House and goes on to, again, to the National Art Gallery. And then it stretches around to the Rum Place by the graveyard, and it stretches far to Meeting Street. And that whole spot up in there is a tourist attraction. Even going far as to go down the hill, going to the Model Butler Funeral Home that's on Nassau Street. They have some guys who rent their motorbikes out there. There's also a tea parlor that you have different authentic teas, soursop, and guava teas that the taxi drivers bring the tourists to come there. And then they sometimes walk back to Bay Street. So, yes, these are solutions to the country's problem. And the gentleman, the first caller, he talked about the fact about integrating the culture. See, I've always said this. We have Junkanoo Sharks in inner city communities, okay? And tourists would like year-round to see, like, how they are produced. This gives the group and the shark an opportunity, you know, say that the guest is coming in. You know, we could charge $2-3, and, you know, we could give them some any little information. You could give them a little information. So coming to the shark, you can see how we build the costumes and et cetera. We give some information on it so they get more to know about our history. And you have all these one family sharks, you have these Saxon sharks. And then there, some of these guys could be creative. They could say, you know, we have a lot of guests coming in. We have 6 ships coming in. We talk to some taxi drivers. They say they're going to bring them to the shark. You know, I'm going to make some Junkanoo doors. I'm going to be authentic with, you know, creative with some art and craft, and probably paint. My friend could paint. So we set up right inside the shark. And then, you know, you get a scream of visitors who are guests, who are customers, and start to spend digital dollars. You know, you can learn about the sand drop. You can learn about all these. You know, the gentleman talked about it. You know, digital money. And this is a perfect example. Also, I'm also asking persons to ask their representative about the digital money. You know, what is the next step? You know, the government is talking about digitalizing and taking away cash, you know, which is going to be, cash is going to be relevant in the next 50 to 100 years. All right? So the government has Bitcoin and all of these stuff. But we need these stuff to be integrated in the city community because we don't want to be left behind. Yes, y'all are intelligent. Y'all have the resources. Y'all have the technology. But for us in the inner city community, many of us need to know about Bitcoin. We need to know about the sand dollars. We need to know these things because if we want to get in the next phase of the development of the Bahamas and we want a better change of mindset into the future, which is, like I said, digital, Bitcoin, sand dollar, all of this stuff, because when the guest comes, they use these type of money transaction. And we're going to have to teach our kids. So you also have to ask your representative to bring programs to teach these type of programs in the inner city community and the Bahamas at large. You know? So yes, I think that the recommendation that many of the people who call on the show today, there was some good recommendation. And on the caller said that, you know, when we look at Frankie Wilson, we look at the Brave Davis, they say we look at Brent Simonette, we look at Tiger Phillipson, you know, we look at the Christies, we look at the Ingrams. You know what I was saying? That how I was talking to the Prime Minister, and I asked him some questions. I said, what you think, Mr. Ingram, is weight? And I'm just saying, to speculate, niggas, man, the Ingram, like I said, $600-700 million. I asked him how much he weighed. He was the prime minister at that time, you know. And he told me, said, man, he's a guy who only had 120 million. You understand, people? Because I sit down, I talk to people. He has an eye inquisitive. And the caller said, you know, that these people got rich off the backbones of the Bahamian people. Some are businessmen. Some gradually climbed their way up by using the political party. And they groomed themselves of the special privilege. Because when you become a part of a fraternity, and we all head in one direction, we start to become powerful. And we sometimes forget that we leaving a lot of people behind. But in that instance, I think that that circle that you surround yourself up, that surrounds yourself with, sometimes it can blind you. And I think that we had the right thinking of when we first started with the PLP starting out, it was to get out of the poverty and then help the better man. But over the course of the time, a lot of people lost sight. There's some very generous, very, very generous people, okay? Any one of these gentlemen here are very helpful. They're one or two persons helped me as well, okay, and continuing to help me, right? And their intentions are good, but they can't help everyone, okay? Now, they might have a lot of funds, okay? But sometimes it takes individuals to go out there and to see how you can influence people for them to see what you're worth. And sometimes these same individuals are looking for someone who has a good heart, who they can go and help develop other Bahamians. But you yourself has to show that integrity. And that's why a lot of people like to work with me, because they show that integrity. Because they know I have the community and the Bahamas at heart. Regardless, everything I do is for my country and my community. Everything I speak on is how to help improve. If it's the hospital, if it's the citizens, you know, if it's the poor, if it's the prison. My concern for my heart this show was always with the people. I always want to see people improve. I don't know none of you guys out there, but all I know is we are a tree, and I know that something's guiding me to tell me do what I'm doing in my community and in my country when I'm speaking on things that are important, to speak out. But not only speak out, I'm doing on the ground. I'm developing my own strategy, okay? And it's working. And I'm a poor guy, all right? So I'm not just talking. I'm a doer. And at the same time, I'm struggling. Meeting it ends meet, because my task is tough running the community, because everyone comes to me and looks for a little employment or always taxes me. I get taxed on a regular basis, people, on a regular basis. You know, every day I get about 6, 9, 10 people, and I'm a poor guy, and I try to do my best to try stabilize the little community that I reside in. And always working on plans. I work with numerous government over the years to talk about small business, the marijuana possession, talking about decriminalizing marijuana. I'm talking about building community centers in the community, see if we could get BOMSI in the community, you know, all of this stuff. See if we could bring opportunities. And that's my main concern. So, you know, we see people like Frankie Wilson, and we might say they ain't helping nobody. Trust me, they help people. They help a lot of people, you know. They help a lot of people. Mr. Simonet helps a lot of people as well. Just you can't help everyone. Yeah. And they might, some cases, you know, they inherit. But they're a smart businessman, and we're just going to have to do the trickle-down effect and see how we can get other Bahamians on the way, how we started out first. And the Sunshine Boys started off from scratch. And they're big multimillionaires, billionaires. And we just need to encourage more people in the inner city community, in the country at large, and to give them the opportunity. Earlier in the show, I talked about DeAndre Ayton, Buddy Hill, you know, Jacqueline Jones, Michael Sweetbelt Thompson, even Ruddock, former World Heavyweight Champ, Ruddock Bowles from Jamaica. He has Bahamian descent in him. We just need to give the people more opportunities. And the caller, he talked earlier, and he said, you know, a lot of people out there, you know, just lost. You know, I would say this, there are so many people lost out there who don't have nowhere to turn, and they don't have no one who can help them. And when we talk in Christianity, I mean, trying to say, go to God and put all your prayers in God and all that. What if I told you that the people who you're talking to you as an individual who is speaking, you are God to them, and you can make some things happen for them? Why I need to go to God and pray to God when you're right in front of you're in the front of me and you're a pastor? Why I need to go? You're representing God because you're speaking for God. So I don't need to go to God. You pray with me and then you help me. Because you have the power. And I think that is our biggest problem. We tell those who are in need to go pray to God, and He will help you. Yes, the Father will help you, but you yourself can be a big assistance to the less fortunate. And I just want to say this. Sometimes when I talk about Christianity, I know people might feel offensive. But what I get to know about Christianity is how people in the lodge are Christians, and they're in the lodge, and they're in politics. Three things. So if you swear to three different entities, how are you going to serve God? Who are you serving in the lodge? And who are you serving in parliament? In parliament, you serve the king. In the lodge, I don't know who you serve. I think you must serve the Knight Templars or whoever it is. You understand? So I think in there, Christianity is mixed up with the lodge. And then with politics, where you swear to the queen, then the king. So I think all of this here, sometimes as citizens, we look at it, we go on the ground and we say, man, them people mixed up. They're serving too many different entities. You know, if you're a Christian, you serve God. You serve, you preach the word of Christ, Yahshua, and Yahweh. Yeah, Yahweh is God, and Yahshua is Christ, the Son. We're going to take this last call. So I don't want people to feel like, you know, I just feel that we can do so much knowing what it is to truly be a Christian. A Christian person who cares, loves, feels for the next individual. Being a good Samaritan, helping people in times of need, speaking out against the wrong that goes on in the country. And that's what it's supposed to be for me. And showing people what God is. Because Christ said that we would do greater things than Him. So that means poverty and starvation and suffering, we could take those things away only if we pay attention and invest in our self. Means that let's uplift one another. Let's help one another. And give one another the best opportunity we can to succeed in their goals in life. We can take this last call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside in the City.
Hey, peace and love, Scrooge. Peace and love.
Hey, good night.
Don't late.
No problem,
But I catch you just now when you were saying something about our biggest problem is you was talking about the church and different things. I got to, right?
Yes, sir.
Now, Scrooge, I can say something to you.
Go ahead, sir.
Now, you mightn't like what I'm about
to say. No, you could say whatever you want. Just your opinion.
What's important is that if it's true or not. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
And let me tell you what our biggest problem in Scrooge is, that black people coming out of slavery. All right? And this is biblical. All right? Talking about from Gideon and Midian and everybody else in the Bible and things like that.
Yes, sir.
We serve the God of our oppressor, Scrooge.
That's right.
Me and you, we serve the same God, our oppressor.
Yes.
All right? So, in the Bible, in the terms of the Bible, that would be like Moses and Pharaoh worshiping the same God together. And Moses took the children of Israel out of Egypt to try to get them to forget the ways of Pharaoh. That's what the whole wilderness experience is all about. All right? We as a people, we have yet to go through the wilderness, where we have tossed off the ways of our oppressor.
You're right.
And if you read Deuteronomy,
you're right.
Deuteronomy explains this to you and it tells you that if we continue to serve gods who we do not know and foreign gods or whatever, we will always have this kind of problems in our society until we decide to take up the God of our forefathers.
You're right.
All right?
You're
now,
right.
That's a reality. All right? Now, like I said before, people might not like to hear that. And Scrooge, when you read the Bible, Bible shows you where when you serve the one true God, you face a lot of obstacles and a lot of persecution. And it's a hard road
to
walk, right? I mean, but the Bible tells you that in the last days, it will be even be harder to serve the one true God.
Yes.
All right, but see, is it hard to be a Christian in our society? No. If I go in a job and I put on my application on my resume that I'm a Christian, I go to church every Sunday, that's a good thing.
Yes.
All right, and we to the point where Christians are the ones doing the persecution. We live in a Christian nation. You can't be persecuted in a Christian nation, my brother.
You're right.
So how is it? That to serve the one true God will be so easy in the last days. You know what I mean? And on top of that, too, the Bible tells you that the wrong way is a wide road, and the majority of people walk that road.
Wow.
It tells you that it's a narrow path that few walk, that you face a lot of persecution, you carry a heavy load. That's why Daniel gets put in the lion, then Shadrach, Meshach, and then you go in the fiery furnace.
Yes.
So until we are ready, Scrooge, to have the real conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Ain't nothing to change around here. We'll be talking,
mm-hmm.
and there'll be no solution, Scrooge. Look how much churches we have around here, Scrooge. Look how much deacons,
5,000
deacons, bishops, and all these people.
5,000, my brother.
And yet the country continues to fall into immorality.
That's right there.
All right? So and the Bible tells you this.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
You're right.
So like we said before, brother man, if we serve the same God of our oppressor, if that is a reality, then we're in trouble.
Yes, sir.
All right? And then we need to fix that.
Yes.
And that's the only discussion that
needs to be
having right now, because
yes.
that's the only because only God can solve our problem, only the truth, etc. So if we have any other discussion other than that,
mm-hmm.
we'll be talking until the cows come home. All right, my brother?
Yes, sir. And you hit some
peace and love, Scrooge.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. And basically, I was saying the same thing, but the gentleman said, you know, that's why I said Yahshua and Yahweh, and he talked about we serving no oppressors. Remember, I told you said that when the prime minister swears, right? Listen closely. When the prime minister swears, the speech from the throne, and when the governor general reads him his oath and his contract, he signs onto a 5-year contract, signing onto the ancestors of the queen of England, which now is King Charles, who is the king of England, who's also, you know, the head of the Bahamas. Even though we are so-called independent nation. And he talked about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, saying that if we look at the Christianity and how they took on the identity of the believers, okay, which is us, and because they saw that people were dying for Yahshua, means that they were offered to be given back their land, they were offered to give back their riches if they deny Yahshua. And many of them died in front of the Roman soldiers. And if that was one of the punishment, the Roman soldiers and torture was one of the intimidating factors they used to make sure that if you believe in Yahshua, you believe in Yahweh, that this would happen to you and make you deny him, eh? And make Caesar, a man on earth, who was a Roman, right, to become, and for you to bow down to him and submit to him, he will give you back your land, your riches, and et cetera. And many people who believe us, they did not. They rather died. Okay? And this is what changed the Roman Empire from the way of thinking, because now they're seeing that, wow, these persons are dying for their Yahshua and Yahweh, which we call Jesus, right? And God, we call him, Yahshua and Yahweh, right? We call God and Jesus. They decided to indoctrinate our way and our system, and they call themselves Christians, and they add their pagan ways. And when they talk about their pagan ways, we talk about Christmas, we talk about Easter, we talk about Good Friday, we talk about Palm Sunday, all right? We talk about Halloween and all of these stuff. These are the things of the pagan, and this is what the gentleman was talking about. And we are serving them today because the same system we inherit. That's why when I say the governor general, I say Pontius Pilate, okay? Because the governor general today is the representation of the same system that crucified all of the prophets. And we inherit it. And when we inherit it, when Christopher Columbus brought it over, because this is the first place that Christianity was brought to, the Bahamas. It's the first place. You don't believe it? We have a system older than America. America lying off us. Okay? Just remember that. America lying off the Bahamas when it comes to governance. Okay? And Christianity was brought by Christopher Columbus, who came here and killed our descendants and indoctrinated Christianity on them. Okay? And we inherited from the Roman Catholic Church and the English British government, because they are descendants of the Romans who migrated to Britain, and they got in the royal family, and then they conquered. And when they conquered, Christopher Columbus put on the flag, he named it to who? And the land became to who? And then when he conquered, on the second trip, after he met the soldiers, got killed, when he went back to France or wherever he went, and the soldiers them started to rape the indigenous black Indians. They revolted and killed the soldiers. And when he came back, what he did? And then we inherited the system. And our system today is black on black, where we govern ourselves now. And we're destroying one another. If you look in the newspaper, call it comedy right now, if you look in the newspaper, you'd see the government come in and fire somebody from the Free National Movement, or the Free National Movement and fire somebody from the PLP. And then we see like Commissioner of Police, FNM Commissioner of Police, PLP Assistant Commissioner of Police, and they fight for position. And when someone gets the Minister of National Security, he sends the commissioner and he tells us he is not going to meddle in the affairs of the commissioner. And the next thing we hear, the commissioner is ambassador. So now what do we have? We inherit the system and we make the system even worse. We take away the opportunities for the citizens. And most of us get rich in the country, in the political parties. And then we pay taxes, the citizens, and increase taxes to keep the system afloat. It's crazy. The caller's right. This will be the last call. Go ahead, caller. You're on inside the inner city.
Yeah, good night, Scoozy. Bless up.
Hey, 52.
A good roster. And so I like how he used the Bible. You know, some people say it can be used as a proof text for many
yes.
things. So he actually
many stories put together.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is, you know, he was correct.
And yes, he was
right. And so, of course, you know, we can appreciate Anku and Chris all the time. And so
that was Anku.
Anku.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So some people are still really looking for this white Serapis to come in the sky and grab them, still, right? Because it was always soon, right?
Yes, sir.
Be many moons, but I like to say something you touched on at the beginning of the show that clinged to something what Rasta said, but I was trying to remember what it was. But I think what I have to say is the deification of the worshiping of man, right? This is nothing new, because you just highlighted that a few minutes ago, right? But in the transhumanistic agenda, I could show you narratives, right? In their transhumanistic humanistic world, biological life extension systems, et cetera, et cetera, to enhance the body's metabolism as it fails. A cryonics is trying to live forever, right? But in the narratives that's online, I can send it to your phone and show you where they are saying that in the long run, man will be worshiping man, okay? It's not word for word, but I can't remember. I could share it. If I had it, I was looking for it in my phone, but I just prefer to say it. I could always read it because it's in my phone stored. And they are telling you this, okay? Worshiping man. Now, even if Venus comes into existence, these type of biological, medical interventions as far as biological life extension systems, nanobots assisting the body's metabolism, et cetera, I won't get into it, right? These will only be for the rich, Scoogey. You understand
what I'm saying? Yes, yes, yes.
Living vicariously through a robot, brain mail. These things would only be for the rich. So, I mean, these things intrigue the rich. You know, like, I be into them all the day, right? And I'm in a different state of life. And so I look at life different. Like, I am not, you know, material things are good. But then I can see the stiff necklaces in society when everybody's saying a Green New Deal. But I ain't green. I know what they Green New Deal. It's all a farce and a financial construct to subvert. Just like how they got everybody in the future will be accepting a non-productive lifestyle, right?
Yes, sir.
Open homosexuality. You see it. You see it all about now. You see what I'm saying? So if a certain song come on and my little son is around, Howard just highlighted the problem the other day with his son came home shouting, he gay, he gay, he gay. And I was Howard. I was glad for Howard disclosed on the radio because you've got to watch with influencing them. Mm. Howard sat him down and explained to him. So you see the impositions, right? But it's subtle and it's incremental. Bless up.
Okay, thank you very much. Wow.
Yeah.
We're completely out of time. And, you know, he talked about the fact that, you know, we're talking about the lesbianism thing I'm going on in our country. These two things that we need to speak upon and address in our country, you know, and these are things what we need to understand, that's top priority. You know, so to all the callers, you guys did a wonderful job here on Garden Radio 96.9. I'm Valentino Brown, host of talk show Inside Inner City that premieres every Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m. Today we talked about, you know, what we expect from MPs. I made some suggestions. A lot of people made their suggestions. And I think there was very good suggestions today. I'm going to close the show and say this. Christianity, like I say, we have to understand the truth. And the caller talked about worshiping men. Listen, the Roman Catholic Church, the head of the Roman Catholic Church is the Pope. And for years now, granted about 300-400 years, or longer than that now, men and church leaders have been worshiping the men. They have been worshiping the Pope. That's why anyone who goes in the front of the Pope have to kiss his hand. And the strangest part about it, who is the only man say he's Christ on earth? The only person who says there's Christ on earth is the Pope. So if the church is serving a man who's saying that he is Christ on earth, when we know he is not Christ, and you're still serving him, eh? Take a look at that, okay? And do the right thing. The right thing is, let's deny that, okay? Because, like I said, he says these things. Go look at it. The Pope. Most pastors who are part of the church system kisses the Pope ring and bows down in front of him. And he claims that he is God on earth. And the Bible tells you should not bow down to no man. So the system itself, hey, there's truth to it. Okay? So I just want you to remind that. Let's use the system to our benefit. Show love, show kindness. Let's help one another. And let's don't praise no white dignity. All right? What I mean white dignity is the one that people put there as the Pope, grandson, Boris Tingham, on the church walls and stuff like that. That's who many people is be praising. That's not. That's false. Okay? You know the real thing. Yahshua and Yahweh. Okay? Remember what Billy Graham said. I'm going on this, producer. Billy Graham said this. The man that carried the cross was a black man. Okay? Billy Graham, the greatest evangelist of the 20th century, said that. He said that the man who picked up the cross that Jesus was carrying when he fell down was a black man. And he said that the people in that particular town favored the black man who picked up the cross. So he's saying Jesus, Yahshua, was not just for Africa, but he was for all people. But he is stating that Christ was a black man, not a white man. That's what he's saying right there, okay? So that's my topic for today. I hope you enjoyed the show. And I'll see you next week on Garden Radio 96.9 FM. Opportunities, people.
Don't take no bantam, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely find smoke. It on, bro. Why I from it on, bro. Paint on, I say up and running. Caliban say my show, boy, don't ever give in. 7 years of farming, watch the crops them come in. Today see a humble thing, the lion sleeping.